very thankful today for how faithful the Lord's been to me. My desire and determination is to be faithful to him as well.
Amen, Lord.
Desire that you'd pray for us and with us as we share with you the word of God. We want to turn to Luke, the 23rd, the 9th chapter and the 23rd verse. Luke 9, verse 23. If you have it, read it for us, please.
Luke 9 and 23. And he said to them all,
all right,
if any man will come after me,
yes,
let him deny himself.
Let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily. And follow me.
For whosoever will save his
life
shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life
for my sake,
the same shall save it.
For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world
and lose himself
or be a castaway? Now I want to stop there for a moment, because in some of the other parts where it talks about that, I want to read another verse that goes along with that. The Lord, these were multitudes of people that were following the Lord. And then he turns and tells them, there's a cost to following me.
Yes.
There is it's not just going to be the easiest thing. You're gonna have to take up your cross daily and follow yourself. So follow me. You can't just take care of yourself. What we want to talk about today is that self, our self life. And I thought about, we talked a little bit about the last couple of Sundays. We've talked about success and we've talked about failure, what it takes to be successful and what it takes, true success is. Now, many of us feel like, as we talked about before, that people that are rich and famous, those people are successful. But the scripture tells us, what's the profit if a man should gain the whole world and then he lose his own soul? What's the benefit of this? Is that really what success is? So ultimately, success is when you live for the Lord and when you ultimately die for the Lord. That person, no matter who he is, no matter what his situation or status in life is, that person is successful. So it says here, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. It's not denying other people. And so the point that I want to make here is, the fact of the matter is that if we are successful or if we fail, it's all on us. So no one else can keep me out of heaven. There's not a soul here on earth that can keep me out of heaven. Only person that can keep me out of heaven is myself. The man in the mirror. So I've got to take care of him. He's the most important one that I've got to deal with. And he's the only one that I really can deal with. I've learned over the course of my life that my wife, we've been together for 36 years. I can't make her do anything. Oh, you're supposed to be the man. No, I'm not the man. I can't make her do anything. She's an adult. She can do what she wants to do, right? But ultimately, what I found out is early in our marriage, what I found out is, stop trying to make her. The difficulty part, the problem is going to be you. You're the one that's the problem. And so generally what we want to do is we want to make other people the problem, and we want other people to change so that we can be more successful. But we find out that the most difficult thing is for us to deal with ourselves. Amen. All right. So now I want to go to in a conjunction with this. I want to go to Luke the 14th chapter. And I want to read there. Luke 14 verse 25. Luke 14 verse 25. Read it for us if you have it.
Verse 25. Yes. For I say unto you.
Uh huh. Let's see. Is that 14:25? This and there, for a great multitude.
Luke 14.
Yes.
Oh, that was.
Yes.
And there went great multitudes with
him.
And he turned and said unto them,
If any man come to me
and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also,
he cannot be my disciple.
And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple.
So in the first scripture we said, if any man will come after me, let him do what? Deny himself. It's not denying somebody else. I'm going to prevent somebody else from doing something. I need to deny myself. Take up his cross and daily and follow him. And then in this particular passage of scripture it says, if any man will come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children, brethren and sisters, and yea, in his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, what is that really talking about? Is that saying that I've got to hate my wife, I have to hate my mother, I have to hate my brother and my sister? That's not what that's talking about. A better translation would be that I don't love them more than I love God.
Yeah.
So in other words, I'm not going to put them in the place of God, that I'm going to do I'm going to do something for the people that I love, my wife, my mother, my sisters, my brothers, all of those. I'll do that in an attempt to win their favor, and I'm not interested in what God is concerned about. So what we have to be very clear and honest with ourselves is, I've got to love them less than I love the Lord. I've got to love myself less than I love God. You know, one of the things that's going on in our generation now is this self-love. You know, have you ever noticed something? Remember about 40 years ago, most of us that can remember back that long, maybe one's not quite that old, 20 years ago even. 20 years ago, remember when the people went on vacation and they would snap pictures of their vacation? Do you know it was the scenery, it was the other people that were there? Now today, what happens? If you are on a vacation, you are the center of the picture in every picture. Go on Facebook and find some picture without that person in it, right? So what has happened in that, we think is a little humorous, but it's true. And we understand that it's important. The self has been exalted in our generation. There's an exaltation of ourselves. And so what we have, Facebook, and whose face is splattered all over it? Our own face, right? Yeah. All right, now you know what? I'm not a big fan of Facebook. I'm not a big fan of social media and all these Instagrams and all this kind of thing. I think that it actually puts people in places that people do things. Case in point, one brother was at the gym, and what he saw, he was working out. He works out on a regular basis and tries to stay healthy. And this was in Dallas, and he said he saw this young girl walk into the gym with her phone, stand by the equipment, snap a picture of herself with the equipment, and then walk out the door. All right. Now what does she do? Where do you suppose that picture is going to go? Now I'm being presumptuous here, but I almost 100% guarantee that that's going on her Facebook. All right. And so the whole point is, I want to present a picture of, or an idea of who I am and what I'm doing, and I want the whole world to see it. Right. This is what people do. So what is most important to the general public is themselves. I mean, if we were to talk about it, we say here, I'm more important than everybody else. This is what I'm saying, this in a general term, not saying that I am more important than that. But what happens is, when we see the exaltation of ourselves, it's hard for us, and we think we are most important, and we are the me generation, and it's all about me, and it's all about what I want to do, it's all about how I feel, it's all about you fulfilling my needs, and if you don't fulfill my needs, I can't live with you anymore. Well, how about you fulfilling that person's needs? And this is what happens in marriages. What I find that happens in marriage, well, I'm not fulfilled. And I've heard people say those kind of things. I'm not fulfilled in my marriage. But what I've learned, and what I think is a beneficial thing for you, for all of us to do, is for us to understand, love is not about me. Love is about me expending myself on someone. It's sacrifice. It's sacrifice. And one of the best ways that we can do it, we take a little baby. The Lord, we take a little baby. And you know why you're here today? Every single one of us are here today because there was a mother that loved us. There was someone that loved us and sacrificed for us. When it was 2:00 in the morning and we were hungry and they were tired and they were sleepy and they had to go to work the next morning, you know what they did? They got up and they fed us. They took care of us. They loved us when there was something and we needed to be burped or whatever it was. And we needed them. They were there for us and they loved us. And as a result, what we see is sacrifice in love, right? It's not about mama. It's not about, well, I'm have these children because I can be fulfilled in the world. I always wanted to be a mother. Maybe that's the case there. But there is a sacrifice that goes along with it, doesn't it? And then when we're here because of our parents, right? Our mothers or someone that took care of us, that loved us and brought us up and nurtured us. And then what did we do? Those of us that are parents, we did the same thing to our children, didn't we?
Yes.
We sacrificed. So here's the point. What I want to bring, if you don't remember anything else in this message, you're not the most important thing in the equation. You're not as important as you think that you are. We have exalted ourselves in this generation. We've so exalted ourselves in this generation that the universe rotates, the sun rotates around us. We are the center of the universe. And as a result, it's causing a lot of problems in the world. And we need to understand that the scripture says, he that would come after the Lord, it's not the situation. We cannot, the Christian is not the center of the universe. You understand what I'm saying? And so what what the Lord wants us to understand, if you're going to come after him, you've got to deny that. You've got to deny yourself. You've got to sacrifice yourself. When you take into consideration what a cross is the ultimate sacrifice. It is what Jesus did for you and what Jesus did for me. That ultimately, he got a cross, he carried his cross, and he's never asked us to do anything that he himself has not done. All right? Never. There's never anything that Christ has ever asked of us that he himself was not the perfect example of. All right, so he carried his cross on that hill up to Calvary, and they nailed him to the cross, and he died there.
Yeah.
And so what we have to understand is when we read this scripture, oh yes, that's a wonderful scripture, and it says he must deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. So that means that I have an understanding that I'm going to die on this cross. That's the whole purpose of a cross, right? I'm going to die on it, and I must be willing to die if I follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So what does that look like? What does that look like on a death? I'm not literally going to die in the way that he died, but the self-life, this me being the most important thing, and me, my flesh rising up, and my flesh demanding certain things of everyone else, that's going to have to die. So now my wife is more important to me. So I get up every morning, and we say this. You get up every morning, a man, a father that has a child, his responsibility is to get up every morning, go to work whether he wants to or not, and bring home the food and have food and shelter over the heads of his children and his family. Now I say to a young man, and when I give when I give marital advice, I'm probably like from the old school, and I know I want you to understand what I say here. I'm old school when it comes to that. I believe it is the responsibility of the husband, of the man, to bring in a living for the family. I am not against women working. I wanted to make that very clear. I am not against women working. If the wife wants to work, then that's fine. And I don't have any issue. Don't sacrifice the children for your job. But I'm saying if she has to work in order to make ends meet, that's fine. But this is what I say to the young man. When I give them advice prior to marriage, premarital advice, what I say to them is your job to support your family, or don't get married to this woman. All right? You need to have it in your mind, not that we bring in 50-50. You bring in 50% of the living, and I bring in 50% of the living, all right? I don't want you to have that idea. I want you to have the understanding that it is your sole responsibility to bring in the living for this household, and this is what you're taking. When you have children, it is your responsibility to take care of them. It's not your responsibility to put them off on somebody else. These little boys need fathers too, right? They don't know how to be fathers unless they see an example in the home. It's something different about somebody being a mentor. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's nothing like seeing daddy take care of mama and daddy take care of the children. And I know not everybody has that, but here's the point that I want to make. It's not all about you. I tell them it's not about you now. It's about your family. And if you don't want that responsibility, don't marry. All right? Now, if you can't do it, if you're just in a position that you try as hard as you can to make ends meet and your wife has to go and help you make those ends meet, that's okay too. But you need to have the mentality in your mind that if you work two jobs or three jobs, it's your sole responsibility. Now, it worked for me. One of the things that we did, we chose that while the children were at home, we chose for my wife to stay at home. Now, we sacrificed quite a bit, didn't we? We did. We couldn't afford a whole lot of things, and we learned how to go to the thrift stores. We learned how to shop at Goodwill. We learned how to make things look good, and nobody knows where we got that furniture from. But let me tell you, that chair cost $30, you know? We didn't go to the big places and get them. We had to make sacrifices because that's what it meant. That's what I wanted. I wanted that for my family, right? So we have to understand, you have to deny yourself. Now, do you think for a moment that every day that I got up and went to work, I was enjoying it and I wanted to go and I wanted to do it, and this is just, I can't think of anything better. No, I didn't want it. There are many days I didn't want to do it. Many days, but you did it anyway. Right? Because you denied yourself. Let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow the Lord. I knew of men that wouldn't take care of their families. And that's not good, is it? And I know we don't have that situation here, but I want us to understand it's something bigger than what we are. All right, I want to go a little bit farther here. I want to go to Romans, the 12th chapter. I want to begin reading there. So I want us to understand, And what I'm saying here is we live in a generation that really is, if we're not careful, it's a selfish generation. It really is, okay? It really is. We really are. You know, and if we're not careful, we'll be a part of it. And we don't have to be party to it. Just because everybody around us is doing it doesn't mean that I have to do it. I can deny myself when it comes to whatever it is that I'm needing. I can deny myself. And there's often times that a mother will deny herself for her children, won't she? Whether if there's not quite enough food on the table, what is she going to do? She is going to make certain that there is food. Thank you. She's going to make certain that if everybody else goes, is fed, she may go hungry or she may not eat as much as she wants because she's going to make certain that the ones that she loves are taken care of. I want to go to Romans, the 12th chapter. I want to begin at the second verse, please.
And
be not conformed to this world,
but be ye transformed
by the renewing of your mind,
that ye may prove
what is that good
and acceptable
and perfect will of God.
For I say through the grace
that is given unto me,
to every man
that is among you,
not to think of himself
more highly than he ought to think,
but to think soberly
according as God has dealt to every man that measure of faith. Now, the first thing that says here, be not conformed to this world. Now, what does conformity mean? Conformity means that you are molding and shaping yourself out after the thought process, after the worldview that's there now. May the Lord help us to understand that that's very easy to do. When we realize and see, as we're talking about the selfies and whatnot, and that seems like it's just a very simple thing and it's not that important of an issue, but when we understand what it does and how important we have made ourselves, that we're the center of the universe, we're the center of attention. That's what the world is doing. Most of the people, probably a good majority of you, have Facebook. I don't like it. All right. Now I'm not saying anything about anybody or preaching against Facebook. I just learned that it gives people a forum to do things that's not necessarily been. People tell too much of their business on Facebook. It really is true. They tell too much of their business. They tell things that you don't need to say. And I saw that too much. And I didn't even want to know about that. That was what they got, TMI, too much information. And so, but what it is, it makes us important, doesn't it? It makes us important. It makes us that we can get something out there and everybody wants, I get hits, it goes viral, all those kinds of things. And it makes us feel good about ourselves. We get likes, we get all of these things. And so we are becoming the most important thing. And so what happens is, We are conforming to the world. We're conforming to what everybody. Now, all of us can be movie stars. All of us can be famous by doing something that goes viral. And that's what promotes and pushes us forward. We got how many likes? We got hundreds or thousands of likes or millions or whatever. And we do things like that. And we conform to the world rather than being transformed and being trying to make. I want you to look at me and I want you to see Christ in me. I don't want you to see me. I want you to see Christ in me. So be transformed. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God has a perfect will for your life. All right? For I say through the grace that is given to me, every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, what I want to say here, I say unto you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Have you noticed how many people? Yeah, I'm going to pick on the women for a minute, but us too. We have problems. Now, I want you to know that the problem. We're going to be general. Have you thought about how many people in today's time think they're cute? Mm-hmm. Everybody's beautiful, whether you are or not. Everybody's beautiful. Have you ever seen somebody's Facebook? I don't know what your Facebook looked like, but you got the best picture. You got the picture that you don't look, you know. Somebody called me one time, and they had responded to something on, on, on one of the websites in Dallas. This was some time ago. And it was a person that we didn't know. I knew the person, but when I saw them, they said, who is this person? And when they sent me their Facebook profile picture, I said, I don't know who that is. It wasn't the name. They had visited, but I knew this person really well, right? But the Facebook profile was like, did y'all do a, what do you call that? Photoshop. You look like he was about 30 years younger than what he was. He's not even that old, but he looked younger and vibrant and handsome and all this kind of thing. I thought, that guy is a little bit overweight. I don't know who this fellow is. But we put our best foot forward, don't we? And we've probably all been guilty of it. I mean, if I want to put something where everybody can click on, see, I want to put my best foot forward. I want to get the one, you know, y'all remember back in the old days when there was glamour shots? Y'all remember, did they have them here? They had them in Texas where the women would go and they would get all jeweled up and they would take glamour shots, what they call glamour shots. Remember those? And then, as real estate agent, what people would put them on their cards. And then I'd look at the card, I don't know this person. Because they look so glamorous, right? But here's the point. This is what's happening to us today. So this is why it says, be not transformed. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Lord, help me to have a different kind of, different mindset. I want a different paradigm. I want a different way of looking at myself. I want to deny myself in the way that you want me to deny myself and take up my cross on a daily basis and follow you. So it says here, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Now, you know what? None of us are probably going to win a search contest for models. All right. All of us are beautiful in some way or another. Right. But all of us are not what the world is looking for. Right. So we have to understand that. So when we think soberly, I am not the ugliest man in the world, but I'm not the best looking either. And I understand that. And we all understand that. So I am not the smartest, but I'm not the dumbest either. So I'm gonna be sober about it. So here's the point. When I think so highly of myself in whatever capacity it is, that I have a little bit of education, and so therefore, because of my education, I'm better than everybody else. We gotta think soberly. What you have to understand, and this is what I've understood, it doesn't matter. I can go out there right now to the people down the street that are homeless, and I guarantee you every single one has something that I don't have. Amen. Every person is better than me in some way or another. Amen. And I'm better than them in some way or another. So what does that mean? Does that mean that because I have a house and a truck, that I can walk out and I'm better than everybody else that doesn't have one? No, there's something that guy can do that I can't do. Amen. And that sobers me. That makes me sober about it. And there's something. And the Lord made it that way. When I look at it, there is something beneficial about every person in this building. Every person in this building is better than me in some way or another. And every person in this building is inferior to me in some way or another. And we're inferior and superior to every person in here. We've got to understand, and I've preached on that on this particular subject before, but we have to understand that in our minds so that we don't think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. It doesn't matter how much money you have. Yeah, you got more money in the bank than I do, perhaps. Yeah, there are a lot of things. Maybe you have more education. Maybe you're more beautiful. Maybe you can sing better. All of those kind of things. But I don't know what it is. But there is something about me that I don't have to say, you know what? I don't have to say that you're so much better than me that I feel insecure. Or I feel, what's the word? Low self-esteem. The Lord doesn't want you to have low self-esteem. That is not for a child of God that you have low self-esteem, and it's not for a child of God that your esteem is too high of yourself either. So he says soberly, somewhere in the balance, you know what? I can do what I can do, and I'm satisfied in doing what I can do. And the things that I can't do, I just can't do them. I'll get somebody else that can. May the Lord help us. That's how it is. And so, but when we think so highly of ourselves, that how dare you do that to me? Who are you? Who are you that somebody can't do that to you? Lord, help us. All right? So we've exalted ourselves to the point. Now, what we don't understand is that there are a lot of things that are affecting us. When we see people on YouTube and we see the beautiful movie stars, particularly here in California. We see the beautiful movie stars and people that have made themselves movie stars. What has Kim Kardashian done to the world? What has she contributed to the world? What have they contributed to the world? Oh, why are you famous? What do you do? Well, she has an ability. Now, I'm going to tell you something about her. She has an ability to promote herself. She has an ability to do what other people are following. Why would you even want to follow the Kardashians? All the issues and the problems that they're at. Why would you even want that? But she has an ability to promote herself and make herself a millionaire simply because she knows how to get out there and promote who? Her. Her. What does she do? Can she sing? No. Have you ever heard her sing?
No.
Can she act? Have you ever heard her act?
No.
What can she do? Tell me. What if she can promote herself? And that's what we've got to be careful. And everybody that is trying behind her because she has the ability to do that. All right? She does a good job of it. Which I don't understand, but she does a good job of it. And if we're not careful, we'll do the same thing. We'll learn the ability rather than promoting the Lord Jesus Christ and lifting him up, we promote ourselves. You know what happens in some of the mega churches? The mega churches have the ability to promote the preacher. They really do. And if that preacher, and here's one of the things, in real estate I learned something, a lot of times they do not like lending money to those kinds of places because they have a personality preacher. And that personality preacher, if he gets hit by a bus, the whole thing goes down. All right? This is why, if I be lifted up, the scripture says, this is talking about Christ, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. This is Christ speaking, not me. It is not something that, this is why it's important, and this is why I feel like as a minister of the gospel, you never promote yourself. You never promote yourself. You always promote the Lord. You always have the people to look through you and see Christ in you, and if you don't do that, you're a failure.
Thank you.
All right? If you're just wanting them, wanting everybody to clap their hands when you get up and speak and all that, then you're ultimately a failure and you're leading the people astray. Our purpose as men and women of God is to lift up Christ in our lives, in our day-to-day lives. When my wife should be my greatest one that comes in and says, you know what? Yeah, he preaches what he preaches. He practices what he's preaching. Because when I go home and the doors are closed, how I treat her is really who I am. How my children see me is really who I am. And so you know what? I don't have a persona at church and then another persona at home where I beat my wife and I do all these horrible things, but then I can get up and give this inspirational speech and it's wonderful in the crowds and all the accolades and all that. That's not who that person is. And you got your wife sitting over there rolling her eyes at all the things that you're saying. May the Lord help us. So I have to conquer me. I have to conquer Daryl. Daryl is the most difficult person I've ever met. He's the most difficult person that I've ever had to harness and bridle and make him shut up when he didn't need to speak. And you know what I've learned over the course of time? I've learned that the reason people are so hard on their spouses and so hard on other people and demanding that they're going to say or do what they tell them to do is because that person, when they look in the mirror, they can't do it themselves. And so they work harder on someone else to make them do it, to adjust. If my wife would just adjust a little bit, then I wouldn't have to change. If she would stop doing this, or that person at work would stop doing this, then I wouldn't have to change. I wouldn't have to adjust myself. But what the Lord is telling us, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow after me every day. Daily. Every day. And so what I learned in my own experience, I'm sure, apologize for using my own experience, but what I've learned in my own experience, when I wrestle Daryl and I lay him down on the ground and I get him, it don't even matter what Kim does. It don't even matter what they do at work. Because ultimately I'm going to be satisfied whether you keep doing it, the Lord gives me the grace and the power, the Lord changes me, or the Lord changes you. It doesn't matter now, does it? What really matters is, Lord, I need to deny myself every day. Today I've got to go to work. We say, I've got to go to work. Now I'm going to tell you something else. Do you think a preacher wants to come and to church every time the doors open? Every time? Do you suppose that they want to do, oh yes, no, sometimes we don't. Can I tell you that? Sometimes we're tired. Oh Lord, I'm tired. And I've got to get up and I've got to preach to the folks. And I'm tired. And don't get somebody hard-headed that you've been preaching the same thing to them for the last how many ever years. And it's one of those messages again, Lord, I preached this kind of a message before and they ain't listening. But Lord, help us. But we have to do it. We got to get up and go to work just like everybody else, because you know why? Because God is looking at us. He said, I ain't worried about all the folks that's sitting in the audience. I'm worried about you, Daryl. Yes. Because you know what? When a preacher preaches, he must first be partakers of the fruit. You first got to do it for yourself. And if you don't do it for yourself, if you don't eat the whole roll yourself, you can't give it to the people. And if you do give it to the people, do you know what? They don't really want it, because they can tell that you really didn't. You're not really living it like you're supposed to. They know that. Lord, help us. They can discern that.
Yes.
All right. Let's go a little farther here. So we don't realize that we can be affected and infected by the influences of the day and the culture. So what's going on in the real world? We see on the internet. One of the things that's happened that's different than the times past is we live in a global society. It used to be, remember when y'all lived in Bakersfield, because some of you came from Bakersfield, whatever, little town. I came from a little town in Oklahoma called Okmulgee. Most of you probably never been there, and nobody's probably been there or heard about it, but it's a little town of about under 20,000 people. And when I was a child, the only thing that I knew what was going on is what was going on around that little town, right? Now I can know within a heartbeat, or whatever was on the news or whatever, we learned something. Now we have breaking news. That is, while it's happening, somebody standing out there, CNN or somebody standing out there telling us about it while it's happening. Now remember, now I'm going to tell you something else. Remember, did y'all have party lines in Bakersfield?
Yes.
All the telephones had party lines, right? They had little party lines where, and then we did too. And where I live, we didn't have it at that particular time, but my mother's first cousin lived out in the country, and she had it. So we'd go there, and you could just kind of listen to what everybody else was saying. Remember those times?
Yeah.
You can listen to what everybody else is saying. Now we went from party lines, where you had to share with a lot of people. Veronica, you probably don't even know what we're talking about, baby. Do you? Let your grandma explain it to you a little later. Grandma understands. But it was a telephone that everybody in the community had to use the same party line. So you can pick up your phone in your house and the neighbor down the street can pick up the phone. Y'all, explain it to her. She's a little younger. All the rest of us understand that. So here you do, everybody share the same phone, even though you're in different houses. You can pick it up and listen to what somebody else down the street was saying. So you had to be careful about what you said, right?
Yes.
Now, it went from that to one phone in the house. Remember that? Yes. That you had one phone that was set kind of in the hallway on where everybody could get to it. It had a long cord to it. You could kind of say hello, and everybody, we were 10 in our family, so all the little kids would run straight to the phone to see who it was. That was part of our entertainment, right? Mama, sister so-and-so, or Miss so-and-so is calling. And we would do that. Now what we have, we went from party lines to one line. Now we have every person in here has a phone in their pocket.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
We're individuals.
Yes.
Remember how it used to be, the reason I'm saying this is, remember how it used to be people had one TV set?
Yeah.
And it was sitting in their living room on their den, and everybody watched ABC, NBC, and CBS. That's all they had, right? Now what do they have? Everybody has a television in their bedroom.
Yes.
Why? Because I don't want to see what you have to see. I'm just talking about what's happening in the world in general.
Yeah.
And because I am more important. I want to see something that's streaming. I want to do whatever. This is what's happening in the world today.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm saying this is because we don't want to be conformed to the world. We don't want to be conformed in the way that the world thinks that I am so important, that this is what's important to me, and it doesn't matter what everybody else is saying. So now what we've done, we've exalted the individual, and the unit is not as important. The unit is not as important. The family is not as important. Getting together, we go to McDonald's, and I'll pick me up something. Y'all find something in the refrigerator to cook for y'all or whatever y'all want to do. But we don't sit around and we don't eat like we used to back in the day. You understand what I'm saying? If you got 11 kids, you can't go to McDonald's every day. I promise you can't do that. So you had to cook every day. And now the food is ready. Somebody's coming to dinner. Pour a little more water in the pot. We got a big pot of soup. You can have some too. It's a little less tasty than it was because we didn't know you were coming. But you see my point?
Yeah.
So now the unit needs to be important. It's the same way with church. If we're not careful, what we'll do, the scripture says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but we to come together to provoke one another to love and to good work. We are stressing in our generation a personal relationship with the Lord. It's supposed to be a personal relationship with Christ. Nothing wrong with that. But what I'm trying to say, show us here is there's an exaltation of self. So now it's all about me and my relationship with Christ. It doesn't have anything to do with you, right? And you can't tell me what to do. You cannot tell me how to live my life for Christ. But let me tell you, the way that you live affects how affects everybody around you. Your relationship with Christ affects me. Your relationship, and let me tell you, oh, now look, there are several that are not here today, that are normally here. Do we miss them? Yes. Of course we miss them. Yes. We're too small of a congregation not to miss them. Yes. So it's not all about them. It's not all about the individual. Now, I know that they couldn't be here. They would be here if they could be here. So I'm just wanting to make a point. We are a body. You have a personal relationship with Christ. But Christ has a body.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Christ has a body. And that body you're a part of. And there's another scripture. Let's go to Ephesians, the 4th chapter and the 16th verse. Ephesians 4 and verse 16. So Christ has a body. And in Hebrews it talks about let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. And it tells them to let us consider one another, provoke one another to love and the good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So I want us to understand that, yes, we are endeavoring by the grace of God to have a personal relationship with Christ, but that personal relationship with Christ bleeds over into your personal relationship with your brother. All right? So read.
From whom the whole body
fitly joined together
and compacted
by that which every joint supplieth
according
to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now here's what I want to bring out. You said compacted, the body, it's talking about the body of Christ, fitly joined together and compacted, brought together and held together by that which every joint supplies. Did you notice that it didn't say every joint receives? Did you notice that? There is an inference, but that's not the most important. There's an inference that if I'm supplying, I'm receiving as well, right? But it did not say that every joint receives because I need something from you. No, it is every joint supplies. When I give my little bit, you give your little bit, they give their little bit. We're held together by that. That's why we need to. That's why we need each other, brother. That's why we need to be in a place that yes, I love this brother loves me, and we're going to show it by compacting, and I'm giving something to you. Now, here I'm up preaching. I'm preaching the word of God, making it, breaking it out, trying to make it where we can all understand it, and you're understanding, you're receiving something, aren't you? But you know what? You're giving, you're supplying something as well.
Yeah.
Well, Brother Darrell, I'm not doing anything. No, you just said amen. You just shook your head. You know what that did? That encouraged me. Oh, you're not saying much, but you're looking, and I can make eye contact with you, and I can understand that you're hearing what God is saying to you, not what Brother Darrell is saying, but what God is saying to you at this particular time, at this particular moment, and we know it, and I'm encouraged by that. Now, one of the things that I'm almost finished here, today I was hoarse, and I couldn't sing. I'm getting better, and I thank the Lord for that. I couldn't sing. Did you notice it?
Amen.
You noticed that I couldn't sing very well, but you know what? I wanted to give a little bit. I just wanted to try. It was gravelly and all that, but I wanted to give my portion to the service.
Yes.
And you gave yours. So, well, Brother Darrell, I'm not a very good singer. I don't care. Sing. You know, my grandfather, my mother's father was a horrible singer. But let me tell you, if he was in service, you heard him. You heard him. He told everybody. He said, well, listen, if I could really read, he wasn't a very good reader. He said, if I could really read, I could really sing. But he said, Grandpa, no, that ain't how that works. He put them little glasses on the end of his nose. He'd lean forward and he'd sing at the top of his lung. And no one had the courage to tell him not to. His grandchildren, his children, it was part of the service.
Yeah.
He was enjoying it. How dare we stop him because we wanted the recording to be nice. Now, if you want the recording to be nice, go into a studio and push everybody else out. But this is his heart going up to the Lord. Let me tell you, and I believe the Lord heard something different than what we heard. Because he made that voice. Now, the whole point that I want to say that to you is because some of you probably don't think you can sing very well. We don't care. I don't care.
Amen.
I don't care that you can't sing very well. There are some things I have a decent voice. I can at least hold a tune. But we want to hear you as well.
Yes.
Lord, help us. All right.
Okay.
All right. So, let's see. A couple of scriptures I want to read and we'll be done. Relational problems. It's rampant in our generation. And the reason it's rampant in our generation, is because it's all about me. You know what? One of the things that I have never been good at, and I've known people that are very good at this, I am not good at holding grudges. Never have been. Somebody makes me upset. When I was a child, somebody made me upset. It ain't worth it. It's not worth holding a grudge because it's too much trouble. Just forgive them and go on about your business. And you've heard me preach on this too. That here you are all upset and you're in Hawaii laying on a beach somewhere and that person is laying beside you because you're thinking and you haven't forgiven them. You want to enjoy yourself and you can't do it because you're holding on to something. And you know what? You know what that tells me? That tells me you think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. How dare they do that to me? Who are you? Lord, help us. Forgive them. Get on with your life. Go on further. Go on further. Go on beyond it. You've got to get beyond it. Now, who's making you hold on to it? Well, what they did. Well, you know what? Who's making you hold on to it? The man in the mirror. The woman in the mirror. Let it go. All right? Okay. Let's go to another scripture, Romans 15. So we see that not only in friendship. We see it in the church. You know, relational issues. And the reason that people have relational issues is because somebody thinks more highly of themselves than they ought to think. Somebody thinks that they're better than everybody else in these circumstances, and you better not do this to me because I am not going to stand it. I'm not going to put up with it. I'm not going to let you just walk over me. Well, who are you? The Lord says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and what? Follow me. How many times? Every day. The scripture said, take up your cross, must take up his cross daily and follow me. All right? One more scripture, Romans 15, verse 1.
We then that are strong
ought to bear the infirmities of the weak
and not to please ourselves.
So, and the whole point is that we've got to deny ourselves. We cannot please ourselves, even though we want to. He said, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. There are people that are much weaker than you. And you've got to bear their infirmities and not to please yourself. But let every one of us please his neighbor. For his good edification, to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. So it says here, Christ is our example here. Ye that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. So if you're going to have a success story in your life, in your Christian life, the only way that you can have a success story in your Christian life is that you deny yourself. You're not going to be I'm trying to keep my wife from doing something because she going to just, I'm a man and I ain't going to let no woman just walk all over me. That's what we say, isn't it? She ain't going to just walk all over me, so I'm going to put my foot down and man, you ought to put your foot, be careful what do the women say? Girl, I wouldn't let that man do that to me. And so what you got? You got on each side, so you're going to bump heads. Somebody's got to give. Somebody got to humble themselves in order to have a good relationship, right? And the only reason I won't humble myself because I think too highly of myself and I'm just not going to let a woman do that to me. Well, there are going to be some things that women do and men do and people do to you that you don't want done. There have been all kinds of those things. Do you suppose that Jesus wanted somebody to spit in his face? You suppose you wanted somebody to slap him and pull out the whiskers out of his beard? Do you suppose he wanted that? But he did it, didn't he? He denied himself. He took up his cross and followed. Do you suppose that he wanted somebody to hit him and call him names and all the things that he did? Do you suppose he wanted that? He liked that? He enjoyed it? No, he had to pray. He had to go to the Garden of Gethsemane and pray that he could stay there and do what the Lord, what God required him to do. He prayed. And let me tell you how you're going to do it. You're going to have to pray as well. You're going to have to ask the Lord to help you. You're going to have to ask the Lord to bless you. And the Lord will do it every time. Let him deny himself. We have exalted ourselves too much in our generation. We are too important. We're the most important things in the world. The universe revolves around us. Lord, help us. Let us deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's stand. I have a number. There may be someone that has a desire to pray.